Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me today is my friend from Kuala Lumpur, Simon Ang. God bless you. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you, Larry. I'm so privileged to be able to join this podcast and share our leadership journey as well.
Well, I've known you for, I think, 13 or 14 years, and you shared a lot with me about leadership, things you learned in the corporate world, things you learned in the church world, a lot of different principles. I know you lead right now what's called HIM, Hope International Ministries. Tell us about that to give us a little context.
HIM is a global church planting movement.
Yes.
We started internationally around about 2009.
Right.
We started with five countries. Today, we are in over 60 countries.
That's amazing.
Amen. Praise God. It's the grace of God, really. And we started off with the DNA of Matthew 28, making disciples, planting churches around the world.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's your heart. Planting churches, making disciples, and you've done that so well. And you've led HIM for many years, and more recently, over the last few years, turned it over to a next generation. I'm very interested in that because I'm right in the middle of that whole process of my life right now, leading the Dove International movement and turning it over to a younger generation. So just talk to us a little bit about how you got involved in HIM in the first place, and then talk to us about some things you've learned.
I had been a Christian leader for quite a few years, something like 18 years.
Okay.
And when I hit the age of 35, 36, I had a spiritual dissatisfaction.
Okay.
I was preaching, I was doing many leadership things, pastoral things, but I felt that there was something more, something more that I wanted to see for the church, something more I wanted to do with my life. So I went to visit my good friend in Thailand. He was already building a successful mega church, and he was my friend from university.
Okay.
So I felt that I could learn how to do a successful church.
Sure.
My idea was to do a successful local church. But when I met him in 1991, he said, "Hey, we are starting an international church planting movement.
Wow.
Why don't you come on board?" And so I thought, well, you know, that sounds good. I could have a local church. And Matthew 28 in fulfilling the Great Commission had been something that I had heard for a long time.
Right, right.
But we never actually got to do it, you know.
Sure.
So I thought, hey, well, why not? You know, let's try this. And that was just the start of the journey.
So for you, you were looking to learn leadership and you found someone who was doing leadership well.
Yes.
And so you said, look, he invited you to join him. You said, yes, I'll do it. And of course, you learned a lot over that whole process.
Yes.
So now, eventually, you became the leader of that team. You don't need to give me all the detail, but just talk a little bit about one day you became the leader of that whole team, that global team.
Yes.
Talk to us about that a bit.
Yes. So I mentioned in 1991, we started this international movement.
Yeah.
Around about the year 2008, that's 17 years down the line, we were doing fine. We were planting lots of churches. By that time, we were into maybe 100 churches internationally.
Sure.
But something happened from the top leadership, the founder to the top leader. And eventually we had to separate, unfortunately.
And so then you began leading this movement of churches. Did you feel equipped to do that?
Actually, to tell the truth, to be honest, I didn't want to lead the movement. You know, I was happy to be one of the elder. And yeah, you know, the vision was there. We wanted to plant thousands and thousands of churches.
Sure.
So I was not really looking forward to that. In fact, gave me a lot of stresses. I was not able to sleep well for at the best part of 3 months.
Yeah. So you took on leadership, obviously, and leaders came with you, trained leaders. And talk a bit about how that grew then from there. And like, what did you learn in that whole process?
Well, I didn't know how to lead the movement.
Yeah.
So I think I went back to the Lord and asked God, how am I going to do this leadership thing?
Yeah.
How do I lead a movement? And how do I continue the vision of planting churches all over?
Right.
And after 3-6 months that I was praying and crying out to the Lord, God gave me some good strategies. God gave me some good strategies.
Beautiful.
I stabilized the movement by doing a whole lot of pastoral care in great detail, in intensity. I stabilized the movement by going to visit all our regional churches around the world. And then God gave me some key countries to start pioneering. Countries like India, countries like Africa, countries like China, you know, and we planted, we started with that, and we grew by the grace of God, hundreds of churches in India, hundreds of churches in Africa. So that's just the favor of God.
Definitely.
And along the way, what was good about the way God led me was I became more and more confident leading the movement, you know, where I was fearful to start with. When God spoke to me, when God gave me the strategy, when I began to see results, I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I can do this after all.
I can do this, huh? Yeah. That is amazing. Now, you were in business for a while. I mean, you learned leadership other places.
Yes.
Talk a bit about your leadership journey.
Yeah. Well, I became a leader in Australia. I was in a wonderful, good Pentecostal Australian church.
Okay.
And early in my years, before I hit 30, the eldership invited me to join the leadership eldership team. So from just joining that group of elders, I learned, I observed how they were doing leadership and how they function as a team. They had three of the fivefold there. There was a teacher, there was a pastoral, and there was an evangelism gifting, you know.
Sure.
So I captured that essentials of how they function. My corporate experience taught me how to lead the team effectively, because I became a manager and then I became a general manager. I had to lead various departments. I had to lead the production department where we manufactured products. I had to lead the sales where we were attracting customers. I had to look at the finance with accounts and the administration, sending reports to head office. So that kind of broadened me to learn how to multitask, how to go into the details of leading these people and advancing the company, of course.
So you're saying you've learned things in the business world that then helped you as you're involved in the church world. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting. Was there anything else you remembered learning over that process that helped you later on?
Yeah. My company was a multinational.
Okay.
And they had a global vision of wanting to start companies overseas.
Okay.
So the chairman of the company was saying that we're going to go to Hong Kong, we're going to multiply to Philippines, we're going to go to Indonesia. And I was just observing how he managed this expansion, how he got the relevant leaders to be able to build successful ventures overseas.
Right.
So that gave me an idea of a regional management, you know, how to look at a region and not just the local company per se.
So good. So you learned all that in the business world, and God was using that to prepare you for the church world, so to speak.
That's right.
Talk more about teamwork and building teams and how that's worked for you.
Yeah. So from the church in Australia, where I was observing the different gifting, the different functions that the elders were doing, I felt like, hey, this is wonderful. You know, there's a pastoral gifting that cared for the people. There was a teacher gifting that would impart the word of God, and we were always awed by what was coming out from him teaching the word. And there was an evangelistic gifting that was like always emphasizing, got to bring more souls, we got to bring people, you know. And so I built that into my heart and said, hey, that's good. But I got to apply it a bit more when I went back to Malaysia.
Okay.
And from the corporate, I had to manage the team. And thereon, when I started pioneering the church, I was now thinking, how do I build this team? How do I identify the different gifting? How am I going to free these people up in their gifting?
Mm-hmm.
So that experience taught me how to continue to sharpen my gifting to build a team of leaders together.
So you were in Borneo, part of Malaysia, correct? The big island. And so talk a bit about how that church started. And you were the church planter?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So when I had that spiritual dissatisfaction of wanting to start something,
right.
I went to Thailand, got all the advice that I need, talked to the leaders there. Then I went back to Borneo. That's where the work started.
Yeah.
So I had myself, my wife Lai Eng, and then I had Dennis Liu, who came back from Australia, met our pioneering team in Singapore for a short period and encouraged him to join me. So there were three adults with our two children. Okay. We started pioneering right in the living room of our home, bought maybe like 20 chairs, put it in our home, arranged it. It was really exciting because a fresh start. I was pumped up on really seeing more that I wanted to see with my ministry and my life. Lai Eng was helping with the children. We invited some families. Our own children got involved, you know. They were 6 years old, 3 years old. My daughter was helping to hand out communion. My little son was 3 years old. He was helping to give out the bulletin. It was all exciting, you know, in the home.
So the church started in the home, and you went from there to a larger building.
No, we didn't have to rent any building at all. It was just right in our home itself.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So that church today, I know, is pastored by Pastor Dennis, correct?
Yes, correct.
And how did that transition happen?
10 years after I started the church, it grew. We hit like 500-600 people by that time. Our apostolic team in Thailand felt that it was time for me to move to Kuala Lumpur so that I could oversee the entire network in Malaysia.
Okay.
And to travel internationally to also pastorally care for our international churches as well.
Okay.
So the flight route from Kuala Lumpur is easier to go over international. So I felt that it was time. And, you know, Dennis had been hearing from the Lord as well that God kind of asked him, would you be ready to go full time if that came, the time came? And he was ready, you know. I just told him that I had to go to Kuala Lumpur. I have to take up this new role. And would he step up and take over the church? And praise God, he did.
Praise God. Kuala Lumpur would be the capital of your nation.
Capital
correct?
Of our nation, yes.
And so when the church was 500 people, where did they meet?
By that time, we were hiring a hall.
Okay.
By that time, we were hiring more. Because 500 people, you know, we want to make it more permanent.
Right.
We wanted to communicate that this is a permanent base.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to grow further. Right. We're going to reach the community.
Right.
So we moved various places, actually, as we grew. From my home, we moved to a small hotel with a bigger hall. From there, we moved to a sports club. And again, a bigger hall again. And finally, we ended up moving into a much bigger facility, which we ended up buying, actually.
Wow. Now, over the last years, you've spent a lot of time in a lot of different countries of the world. Because HIM today is growing into this global movement over, you know, 600 churches in 60 nations, 60 plus nations.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And so obviously that took you in a different direction. I've heard you say already that if you can find out what your gift is and you can maximize that.
That's right.
And you have had a strong pastoral gift and you somehow have used that gift to see a movement expand around the world. Talk about that.
Okay. I think because of the need for me to touch global leaders and see global pastors rise up, I adapted another level into my leadership, and that is being apostolic. That means raising leaders into their full potential.
Right.
So God gave me the ability to be able to discern who would be the people with a national vision that would capture their vision, capture their nation for the Lord, and also having that apostolic gifting to pioneer into their countries as well. So God gave me the ability to discern and also to build the skills around me to function apostolically. Yeah, to be able
so
to.
So you started where you're at with the gifts God gave you. You're obedient to the Lord in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a strong pastoral gift. Then God gave you, opened up the doors in your life to more of the apostolic.
Yep.
And you're able to see who key leaders were and place them in key parts of the world.
That's right.
And you've really, really done that well. I've obviously been to some of your churches and I've seen the wonderful things God's done through you. So you have transitioned your leadership role a few years ago to a dear friend of yours who's a younger leader in your mm-hmm. movement. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that happened, why you did that, and just talk about that process.
Actually, I had been thinking sustainability, transitioning to a younger leader 6 years ago already. Mm. It didn't just happen. 6 years right. ago, I felt that at that time I was 62 years old. I felt that a younger leader with fresh energy, mm-hmm. with perhaps fresh vision, and in time to be able to lead the movement. So I had been preparing something like 6 years already. Mm-hmm. So we had 8 regional pastors all together around the global. I felt that I want to bring to start that process. I observed and I noted who were the people. So I invited 3 key people mm-hmm. who would be potentially the leaders that could fill that role.
Right.
Then we worked together for 2 years. So 6 years I started. 2 years into that, we were working together. We were traveling together. We were talking as a team. And after 2 years into that season, mm-hmm. I felt that someone was ready. And so I invited Wilson into the eldership. So he joined the eldership, functioned with me in the eldership, mm-hmm. and we invited Dennis as well. Mm-hmm. So then there was another. So we stepped up the level each time
right.
to see vision, to see whether Wilson had the vision, he had the capacity, he had the heart, mm-hmm. he had the trust of the people and the movement as well. And because Wilson had been with us even more than 20 years,
wow.
people in the movement knew him very well already.
Yeah.
You know,
you said something really important, Simon, I think, and that is the people had to trust the new leader. And,
yes.
And because leadership is built on trust, obviously.
Huge
and they trusted
on trust.
You. You paid the price many years ago, visited people all over the world, and they connect with your heart. But the new leader had to have that kind of trust also.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
That you did that really, really well. Yeah. So when did you make the transition? How long ago?
So finally, in early 2021, okay, 6 years into the process that I started, 2021, I felt that it was time. So we handed the baton, mm-hmm. I handed it to Wilson in January 2021. Mm. So that's 2 years into what I've handed it over to him now.
And are you glad you did it?
Yes. I think Wilson is a different kind of a leader.
Sure.
He is more a teacher capacity. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been able to do as much, for example, resources. He's started with that and he's produced good. A lot of online resources. He's brought on fresh ways of training our mm. people globally. And they are able to take the resources, do it in their own churches.
Beautiful.
So it's been a fresh touch. And his wife is a more prophetic gifting.
Yes.
And, you know, together they've been traveling in many regions of the world now. And they're ministering to our people who are really glad to have them.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I remember being in Germany a few years ago at a conference that one of your churches mm-hmm. came together, and mm-hmm. Wilson and his wife were
yep.
there. And so
yep.
she's very prophetic.
Yep.
And he's a really amazing teacher,
yeah.
trainer.
Yeah.
And I think you've really chosen well.
Amen.
Have you ever made any mistakes, Simon? You're laughing.
It would be interesting to ask a leader who never make mistakes. You know?
If they say they haven't, they're lying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, sure.
So what are some mistakes or some things you would have, looking back, you think, I think I would have done that differently if I could do that over?
When I started out as a pastor, I had a vision of 500 people in the church.
Yes.
I wanted to build the church to 500 people. And praise God, God gave me 500
yeah.
and it happened. But in order to grow further and to help others grow as well, mm-hmm. I made a mistake of perhaps not knowing how to groom pastors who would be able to multiply themselves mm. bigger as well.
Mm.
Well, I didn't quite foresee that I will multiply so many churches. You know, I was I was happy to multiply churches, but God gave us much, much more than we expected. So again, it was, I wish I had a bit more training and a bit more experience to do it better. You know, that would be something that would be useful.
Sure. So what would you say to a younger leader who'd come to you and would say, you know, you're a man of wisdom, you're a man who's been involved in leading so many people around the world. Just, you know, what kind of advice would you have for me as a younger leader? What would you tell them?
As a young leader to grow towards the long term, there are a few areas that I felt is important. Number one, he has to have a healthy relationship with God because we are leading a spiritual work.
That's good.
We need to connect with God deeply, and more than that, to be clear that God would work in your life.
Right.
Because we're going to go through some disappointments.
That's right.
We're going to have to seek God. And if God is not strong in your life, you'll be looking for alternative solutions, which is not spiritual.
That's right.
All right. Secondly, I feel that as a young leader, he needs to be able to work with other people.
That's
because
good.
We're always going to lead people. You reach a point in time where you need other people to come alongside
That's
with
right.
you. And relating with others, working with others, even serving them before you get them to serve you is something very important. Relationship with other people.
Yeah.
The third area I feel is to continue to grow in your skills and gifting, right? You may have a certain level of skill and gifting already, but if you want to grow further, you want to touch more people and more variety of people, you have to broaden your skill.
That's good.
You have to grow to be more mature on how to relate with a larger variety of people.
That's good. Yeah. So our time has gone so rapidly. I just have one or two questions for you yet. In light of looking back all these years now, you've been involved in leadership, you trained others to take your place, looking to the future, obviously, and as people look to you, I mean, you have you written anything, written any books or any articles or anything that our people could connect with?
I have thought about it, but at this moment, not yet. I haven't written any.
Well, hopefully you will. We'll put that in our show notes and let people connect, you know, connect with that. But is there anything else you'd say in light of all you've learned over the years? Anything else you'd like to say? Here's something I'd like people to know, people who have a heart for leadership. Here's what I'd like them to know. Anything else?
I would say that being a leader for God is one of the most important calling of our lives.
So good.
We can be successful in the corporate. We can be successful in our own business, but I think ultimately, if we are looking at our own spiritual life and our own spiritual calling in life, I think being a spiritual leader for God, looking after God's people, is one of the most fulfilling area of answering the will of God in our lives. I think God wants to, God created us not just for our own success. God created us to be able to bless others, to be able to share God into people's lives as well. That's what I truly
believe.
Awesome.
You've heard it today in the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. Simon Ang, these words of wisdom, that's fantastic. And again, to know more about HIM, know more about things that God's doing through Simon and the teams that he leads, you go in the show notes, so we'll have all the information there for you to get. Simon, I'd like you to take a moment and pray for anyone who's listening today. And pray if they're struggling in leadership, they're trying to find their way, find their next step, just pray that God would meet them. Would you do that, please?
Sure.
Let's do that right
sure.
now.
Sure. Okay. Our Father in heaven, I want to pray for anyone who would be listening. God, I pray that you will speak a word, your word, into their life as well, that they will discover your calling. They will discover whom you have created them to be. And they'll be able to maximize themselves with the gifting, with what you have made them to be. I pray, oh God, that they will be a blessing to their family, to the people that they're working with, to the people that even if they're leading that, I want to pray, oh God, that you will be able to help them multiply these people that they are leading as well. We thank you, Lord, for the time together. I pray your blessing over every listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Simon Ang, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Learned so much from you. I expect to continue to learn from you for years to come.
Amen.
And may God continue to bless you and all he's given you through the HIM family and other areas of leadership that God's given you around the world.
Thank you.
So for all of our listeners, God has blessed us. Last we checked, we're now being listened to by people from 167 nations. And there's only 195 nations. That means there's 28 nations yet to go. And so it's been a great blessing week after week after week to interview people who have insights from heaven. That's what I call it, as it comes to leadership from around the world. And Simon, you did a great job today. So thank you so much. And podcast listeners, we look forward to seeing you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.